The Reformation. This year, 2017, marks the 500th anniversary of this thing, whatever it is. Much of the world has forgotten, although not enough to stop it from being a rather intensive festival over, well, a lot of Europe. The U.S. too. You'll hear more as October rolls around. I'll bet you it even makes the nightly news. Though I'm not sure entirely that I'd trust what you hear there, because they're going to say it was about, well, a number of things. Scholars have argued about this. Wise men of latter days who come and say it was the politics of the age, it was the printing press, it was this, that, and the other thing, what they don't seem to ever be willing to say in the public square is that the Reformation was about Jesus. It's still all about Jesus. And to help us celebrate that a little here, we're going to continue our reading in Charles Porfield Crowth's The Conservative Reformation and Its Theology, his defense of this Reformation that is about Jesus against the accusations of the world of the 1870s and 1860s, in which even the Lutheran Church had come to believe it really wasn't about Jesus at all. Yes, it is, Crowth will say. Yes, it is. Let us remember, let us study, let us learn again how this glorious gospel, this marvelous light, opened the eyes of one monk trapped in the darkness of his works righteousness, and so set free an entire generation and beyond. The immediate occasion of the Reformation seemed insignificant enough, Crowth writes. 353 years ago, as he writes it, on the 31st of October, immense crowds were pouring into an ancient city of Germany bearing in its name Wittenberg. Within that city was an old church, very miserable and battered, and very venerable and holy, which attracted these crowds. The Church of All Saints, in which were shown, to the inexpressible delight of the faithful, a fragment of Noah's Ark, some soot from the furnace into which the three young Hebrews were cast, a piece of wood from the crib of the infant Savior, some of St. Christopher's beard, and 19,000 other relics equally genuine and interesting. But over and above all these allurements, so well adapted to the taste of the time, His Holiness the Pope had granted indulgence to all who should visit the church on the 1st of November. Against the door of that church of dubious saints and dubious relics and dubious indulgences was found fastened on that memorable morning a scroll unrolled. Now, you know what he's talking about, right? I mean, maybe you don't. There's a few movies about it. You can watch the brand new one. You can watch the old new one. You can watch the old one. Black and white remains my favorite. About this guy, Dr. Luther, who through the crowds comes up and plasters on that church door this set of ideas, this set of statements about how buying the forgiveness of sins for a few pennies is probably not the best way for the church to handle the growth of faith, the care of souls. It wasn't so weird to nail something to the church door, by the way. It was like the poster board. You know, you see these places maybe at the Starbucks, the local bulletin board. It was kind of like that. And it wasn't so weird to want to have a debate. Luther was a scholar. He was a college professor. And that's how you did your teaching in many ways. You had debates. And so he nailed it up there. Hey, somebody debate me about this. Let's talk. But neither was Luther unaware of the magnitude of the topic. Neither are we to this day unaware of the magnitude of the event. But there are other dates in the era of the Reformation that perhaps are better suited to being central. Say, for example, June 25th, 1530, when the Augsburg Confession was presented to Emperor Charles V at the Diet of Augsburg. Or say that day in 1580, when the Book of Concord first went to the printing press, or maybe say the way other movements in history would date themselves from the birth of Dr. Luther himself. But no. Reformation is remembered on this All Saints' Day Eve, as this boisterous little monk took hammer and nail to door. Back to Crowth. It is from the nailing up of these theses the Reformation takes its date. That act became, in the providence of God, the starting point of the work which still goes on, and shall forever go on. That glorious work in which the truth was raised to its original purity, and civil and religious liberty were restored to men. Reformation ever goes on. The unburying of the truth of the gospel from the morass and decay of our legalistic, law-centered, me-centered need to justify ourselves. That constant purging of the church from the leaven of me. And that ever ongoing unveiling of the antidote of Jesus. That day that Luther nailed the theses to the door, it is not the most important day in the sense of what it gave us. Far better theology would come later than those 95 theses. But it was the day when, after ages, ages, Reformation was again born in such a way that the old evil foe could not stop it. Crowth goes on. He says, our church, he means that which clings to the Reformation, and by that he then does mean the Lutheran church, although others have their own reformations, this first Reformation is a Lutheran Reformation. Our church, as clearly in one sense, the mother of the Reformation, as in another, she is its offspring, the first, and for a time the exclusive possessor of the name Protestant. Protestantism's source and its mightiest bulwark, our church, has wisely set apart a day in each year to commemorate this great deliverance, and wisely has kept her great jubilees. Now, his older English language there may be a bit tough to deal with, but what he's pointing out is that from the beginning, the Lutheran Reformation was the spark of Protestantism. And for a long time, we're the strongest definition of it, although in these latter days, certainly, you might question our validity, our power, I should say. But that from those earliest times, this day of standing against lies has been called a great day in the church, a day to be remembered, a day to be lauded. And why is this important? Because even in this year of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, if you haven't seen them, they're out there. There are those within the church, the Protestant church of all places, writing their articles saying how we must repent of this Reformation, how it was a mistake, how we should all be so sorry for what Luther did and what the others did to rift the church. As if that doctrine of justification, for which he raised a very small voice, was of no real value. Or as if the papacy's need to demolish and destroy it were of no real consequence. As if the fault lay with we who would cling to the gospel and not with those who would sell indulgences. And so Crowth exhorts us, let's not forget. Let's remember. The church has, for this reason, set apart a day every year to commemorate it. And then he mentions the Jubilees. That's every major year, right? Whether it's every 50, every 25, or for Pete's sake, every century, which is where we are right now, a half a millennium. It is well, then, Crowth says, to have added to the grand order of the church year the festival of the Reformation, and to the revolution of the centuries, its Jubilee. Whether as the child or as the parent of the Reformation, whether she would awake her heart to gratitude as its daughter or arouse herself to an earnest sense of responsibility as its mother, our church, that's the Lutheran Church, can claim it as preeminently her privilege and acknowledge it as preeminently her duty to do so. When the festival of the Reformation shall come and shall wake no throb of joy in her bosom, her life will have fled. For if the Reformation lives through her, she also lives by it. If it is her offspring, it is also her root. And that maybe is the great word of warning that Crowth would speak to us from his grave 200 years ago, not in entirely dissimilar times so far as Lutheranism was concerned. That if the time comes when you hear the idea of the Reformation and it stirs you not at all, does not make you glad to be a Lutheran, to be able to know that you are justified by grace through faith and this not of yourselves, not by works, lest you boast, but rather by grace that it might be certain? If this wakes no throb of joy, comfort, peace, hunger, or zeal in you, well, if I say maybe you're not a Lutheran, I suppose I'll get in trouble, so I'll just let him say it. Maybe our church is dead. But see, I don't think you're listening to this because it awakes no throb in you, but I do think you're listening to this because you know the times. And you know there are those out there that would decry justification. They would decry good doctrine, healthy words, and put in its place all manner of other self-justifying actions. All the more reason then for us not to be silent, especially in this 500th anniversary. All the reason for us to take his words, Crowth's words, seriously when he says, let her, that's you and me, the church, speak to her children then and tell them the meaning of the day. In the pulpit and the school and the circle of the home, let these great memories of men of God, of their self-sacrifice, of their overcoming faith and of their glorious work be the theme of thought in word and thanksgiving. Let the Reformation's return renew that life and make our church press on with fresh vigor in the steps of her risen Lord as one begotten again and even born from the dead. Great encouragement in this year of 500 years, this jubilee of jubilees. Let's not shy away from the Reformation. Let's not shy away from this name Lutheran we've been given. Let's not hold our mouth shut and say, yes, yes, all is good and well. Let the churches join together as they can, or go where you will to whatever place has the name church. So long as you're singing to some God, I feel happy for you. No. No, let's be bold. Let's return to that renewed life that exists in, with, and under. The certainty of who Jesus is and what he's done. The clarity of his Holy Scriptures. That wisdom of his word that knows no context, but is true for all, through all and in all times, returning again and again to reform not just institutions, but to reform you, even giving you the promise of resurrection from the dead. A free gift, grace alone.